So happy it's Thursday. Welcome, ESPN 1700. It's the Real Estate Radio Hour with your host,
Big Mac David McKelvin,
and myself, Ryan White. Full house today. In studio with us, Richard Boyer, lawyer here in Del Mar, boyerlaw.net. Richard has been practicing law here in San Diego for 25 years. He represents clients in real estate, construction, and general business litigation. And he handles all aspects of legal representation, including alternative dispute resolution and risk prevention. That's what we're going to talk a little bit today. Richard, thank you for joining us.
Thank you, Ryan. It's nice to be here. Thanks for inviting me.
Additionally, Russ Kubart. Russ is a general contractor with A1 Patio and Remodeling Experts, website patioexperts.com. General contractor specializing in patios and remodeling, local San Diego resident for going on 25 years. Russ, thanks for joining us.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Ahead of us today, a lot of lists. I guess we're big on lists today. We have one, two, maybe even three lists if we have time to get to it. So for all yous out there taking notes,
top 10,
25 bullet
right?
points. 25 bullet points. Richard is going to talk about the top 10 mistakes landlords make when dealing with tenants. And personally, I'm a big fan of renting property and dealing. Well, not such a big fan of dealing with tenants, but it comes with the comes with the game, so to speak.
Yeah, but you want to get it right because it can be a disaster.
Got to get it right. I don't really fancy myself much of a stock market kind of guy. My money is in real estate, which means you have to deal with tenants. And so this really hits home quite a bit. We've got a countdown starting at 10 all the way down to 1, Dave Letterman style, of the top 10 mistakes landlords make and how to avoid them, frankly. That's the most important part, right?
Right. And so as you mentioned, I do a fair amount of real estate law. That makes up the majority of my practice. And a good percentage of that is dealing with lease agreements. Unfortunately, most of the time I get involved after something's gone wrong. But over the years, I've kind of compiled this list based upon the typical things that I hear from clients about that when there's been a dispute between a client and a landlord.
Got it. Also, ahead of us, we're going to go through realestate.com and somehow AOL did some compilation of cost versus value report for the 10 home remodel tips. What do you, biggest bang for your buck, so to speak. And we're going to reflect on those and see how they fit in to our local San Diego market. And our expert here, Russ Kubart, is going to weigh in on, what things really make sense around here and which ones don't. So that's what's ahead of us here. Also, Tiffany Hazelar, Dedicated Credit Repair, is going to be calling in after the first commercial, give away free enrollment in her Dedicated Credit Repair Easy Pay program. Going to go through three frequently asked questions, so make sure you listen for that. Okay, right out of the chute, Richard has this ebook, How to Be a Smart Landlord, or Be a Smart Landlord, Top 10 Mistakes Landlords Make. It's his ebook. Go to his website, boyerlaw.net, get all of it, or call the helpline, 888-551-2593, but we're going to go over them, or at least as many as we can, right here on the air. And let's start with, well, I guess it's Dave Letterman style. Let's start with number 10.
The top 10. Number 10, the number 10 way that landlords get themselves in trouble is failure to use a proper lease agreement. And what we mean by that is, first of all, make sure that you have one in writing, that is. The law requires that if your lease is for a year or longer, that it needs to be in writing or it's not enforceable. In addition, landlords just need to know that leases are contracts. They're legal documents. They're a contract between the landlord and the tenant. They set forth the rights and obligations that the tenant and landlord have in that relationship. And you need to have all that in writing so that if something does go wrong, and hopefully it won't, but if it does, then the lease agreement should spell out how those issues are to be resolved.
Richard, I've got a question. So I'm a landowner, and I've rented my property out to somebody, and I've got a California Association of Real Estate Realtors lease agreement in place, and my tenant has a son that turns 18 while living in the property. Does that son have to now be added to the lease agreement, or how could that – is that a problem that he's 18 now and living there and I don't actually have a lease with him?
Well, no, David, the the lease agreement can, and good ones do, spell out who the actual tenant is, who the lessee is on that lease. They can also spell out how many occupants are entitled to live at the property. You have to be a little bit careful because, of course, you can't exclude various types of tenants. But if you, the landlord has a, the right to lease to, say, one or two tenants, and you know maybe the tenant and one occupant. So just because the tenant's son turns 18 doesn't mean now he has to be a lessee or a signatory to that lease agreement. If he's a valid occupant, a legal occupant of the property, he just continues to be, regardless of his age.
Yeah, that certainly does make sense. The California Association of Realtors residential lease agreement does specify a line for who is responsible for paying the rent, who you're leasing the property to, and a whole other separate category to describe who's living there.
Right.
You know, son, daughter, dogs, stepchildren, whatever is to be put there. So I think what you're saying is, regardless of the age, there's not a necessity to undo everything and redo it just because they turn 18.
Exactly.
It makes a lot of sense. Now, you mentioned the right and proper lease agreement. Is you endorsing? I mean, what? How do I know which one's the right one?
Well, just taking a step back, as I mentioned, they should be in writing. So there are many out there, and anybody that uses the internet knows that you can find anything on the internet these days, including myriad lease agreements. It's best to use ones that are tried and true. You mentioned the CAR agreement, the California Association of Realtors agreement. That's one that I like and use. The reason why you should use one like that, and I mean, I don't know that I'm endorsing it necessarily, but I do use it. I know that it's tried and true. It's been tried in court, so the terms that are included in it are in compliance with the law, and they keep it up to date because ordinances and laws do change. So the reason why you want to use one like that is because you want to make sure that it's comprehensive. It includes all of the current law, all of the different provisions that you should have in it, and it references that there are also different disclosures that landlords have to make to their tenants. So that's all included in a good, tried and true, comprehensive lease agreement, such as the CAR agreement.
And to get a copy of that, I certainly can provide them the helpline here, 888-551-2593. Can send anybody they want an electronic copy, 888-551-2593. That's the number. Call up. Leave your information. I'll make sure you get a copy of it. Or, of course, go to Richard's website, BoyerLaw.net. Certainly he can advise you as to the pros and cons of whichever one you decide. So lease. You're pro-lease, sounds like.
That's right. I'm in favor of everything in writing. It's if it's not in writing, and believe it or not, these days we still get calls from people who have a conflict with someone, and nothing is in writing.
Yeah, I can see that. I would also think that simply the fact it's written down, people are less inclined to argue about it anyway.
True. And you know, you can't anticipate every issue that's going to come up during the course of a relationship, especially a multi-year relationship, which some lease, well, tenant and landlord relationships are, if the tenant's been there a while. But you try. And as lawyers, you know, there's a lot of history about the kinds of things that do go wrong, such as this list we're going through now. So you try to include and every possible issue and how that issue would be resolved if it comes up. You just want to specify what the parties can anticipate, so they know what their rights are and what their obligations are under that lease agreement.
Does make sense. Let's go to number nine, choosing the wrong tenant.
Right. Now, obviously, we don't know who the right tenant is until you get them in there. But again, you try to do
really
your best.
It's really hard to pick them, right?
Yeah, you can. Sometimes the best tenants at the beginning of a lease turn out to be nightmares. But you can do some due diligence, just like with other things. And I always advocate to my landlord clients that they use a rental application form with prospective tenants and ask the prospective tenant to fill that out, including their past address history, job history, and ask them to provide authority for the landlord to perform a credit check on them. You have to get their written authority to do this, but it's very valuable because if the landlord does a credit check and finds out that prospective tenant has a history of evictions or bad credit, then that's a pretty good sign that that's probably not the right tenant for you.
Yeah, I remember a couple years ago, I owned three studio apartments in Mission Valley, A, B, and D. And I rented them all out. I think I rented them for like $1,000. They all paid the same rent. Rented to three single girls, each one. One had a 600 credit score, one had a 700 credit score, and one had an 800 credit score. And every now and then, I'd have to check on them for whatever reason. I'd go by, and you could tell exactly who the 600 credit score was, exactly which one was a 7 and which one was the 8 just by looking at them. You know, one had everything, looked like Martha Stewart lived there. The other one looked like, I don't know, my 2.5-year-old lived there. Mm-hmm. It was amazing the difference a credit score made.
There are exceptions to the rule because certain circumstances, given the economy that we're in, you know, people have had things happen.
Sure.
You know, they've gotten divorced, say, and, you know, maybe the spouse didn't make the mortgage payment or, you know, they went through a separation of assets. And, you know, there are situations with a good letter of explanation. But again, it is really difficult to choose the right tenant.
Yes.
And it's what we're talking about is extremely important. I've seen a lot of things over the years as a real estate agent, as a real estate professional, and I've actually been a landlord many times where I've given people the benefit of the doubt.
Right.
You know, they called me up and said, you know what, David, the payment on this is half of what my mortgage used to be. We lost our property in foreclosure. You know, I can show you all our financials. We're going to be able to make the payment. You know, extend us an olive branch and help us out here. We're trying to get in a home,
right.
You know, and you feel like you want to do that. Well, I did it. I'm here to say I did that. And, well, you know, a year later they started slow paying and then no paying.
Yeah. No. And that's commendable, David. And I find that with a lot of my clients that, you know, it's human nature. We want to be able to trust people. We want to give people the benefit of the doubt. But you got to remember, as a landlord, you're running a business and you've got to make good business decisions. And sometimes going with your gut is not always the best thing to do in cases like this.
We're on here with Richard Boyer, BoyerLaw.net, going over his ebook. Be a Smart Landlord. His website is BoyerLaw.net. The helpline, 888-551-2593. That's the number, 888-551-2593. When we come back, we're going to keep going through the list. We got a lot more to cover. That was only two. Also, we're going to talk about biggest bang for your buck in home remodeling. And Tiffany Hazelar with Dedicated Credit Repair is going to answer three of her frequently asked questions all ahead of us when
Looking
we come back.
Looking forward to that.
The law is on your side. That's right. The laws are designed to protect consumers from being riddled with debt. They're designed that way so that you can become debt-free and get a fresh start. You should do what I did. When I had financial stress, I called William McDonald with the McDonald Legal Group. Find out how you can use the law to your advantage. Delete your debt and keep your stuff. You got credit card debt, timeshares, old IRS debt, collections, medical bills, any of this stuff can be wiped away with the Chapter 7 bankruptcy, and it only takes 100 days. Call William McDonald today, 800-997-1235. 800-997-1235. Or go online, sandiegobankruptcy.us. 800-997-1235.
This is Lisa with the McDonald Legal Group. We are a debt relief agency. We help people file for bankruptcy relief under the bankruptcy code.
Just having an estate plan or trust in place isn't always enough to make difficult times less challenging for you and your family. Life is full of change. This is why it's so important to have your estate documents reviewed regularly. Contact my attorney, Jared Causa, with Neil Diamant Law Firm, and find out if a review of your estate plan is needed. 619-238-1712. Since life changes so quickly, make sure your estate is properly handled. 619-238-1712 for your free consultation. Just mention Mr. Credit. 619-238-1712.
Have you been arrested recently? Are you facing a DUI or criminal charges? Are you losing sleep at night because you just don't know what to do? Melissa Bobrow is a criminal defense attorney who is not afraid to go to trial and do whatever it takes to defend her clients. Call her now for a free consultation at 619-800-5434. That's 619-800-5434. Melissa Bobrow, there to help you with the worst problem of your life. Get your free consultation, 619-800-5434. That's 619-800-5434.
Welcome back to ESPN 1700, the Real Estate Radio Show. We are on the line with Richard Foyer and Russ Kubart. Welcome, gentlemen.
Thank you, David.
Russ, you know, you're a general contractor. You've been in business for longer than I've probably been alive, right?
Oh, come on.
Well, I'm only 21, right?
Yeah, well.
Well, you know, you do something here in California that a lot of people love, and that is you express the outdoors. You make the outdoor a real living area.
Mm-hmm.
And there's been a huge influx of people doing a lot of remodeling these days because of the fact that property values are going up and refinance money's pretty cheap.
Right.
So we've seen a lot of people these days remodeling their property in order to prepare it for sale or remodeling their property just to keep it.
Right.
So what are some of the things? Just give us a couple things, the 10 best things, best bang for your buck when you're actually doing some remodeling. Just give us what's your top thing you think?
Probably the kitchen. If the kitchen is dated, 20 years old or older, certainly. A lot of people do them every 10 or 15 years.
I would agree. And we're flipping properties, and in the flips, that's the biggest selling point is opening the kitchen, taking a 50-year-old kitchen that's tiny and blowing it out to the rest of the house.
Right.
I think that is the one biggest thing.
Yeah, the older that you get in the property, you'll find these galleys. You know, they used to build the kitchens in a tiny little hallway because they wanted to keep the messy part of the house, you know, concealed, if you will. Mm-hmm. And now they've really radically transformed to these big centers of the home where people, you know, they want the kitchen to be accessible by a lot of areas.
Well, what other kitchen trends are you seeing? Is that what people are doing?
Absolutely. Usually, certainly opening up the walls in, let's say, an old 50s house or a 60s house that, you know, it's a little galley kitchen, like David was saying. And on top of that, replacing counters, replacing cabinets, or at least refacing them, or, you know, inexpensively changing hardware even. Sinks, faucets, those types of things that need to be done anyway after every 10 to 20 years. New paint, scraping the ceiling if that hasn't been done. Certainly you see those in the older homes, those ugly light fixtures popping out of the ceilings or fluorescent light fixtures. Usually those go and then can lights go in, strategically placed.
Mm-hmm. We actually have a list of what you should expect the improvement to reflect in the sales price of a home.
Mm-hmm.
So let's say you remodel a kitchen, you spend $30,000 on it. Are you going to get $30,000 back out of it? Are you going to get $50,000 out of it? You know, what is this going to equate to in terms of the net result when you sell the property? This sheet goes line by line on different items, and there's really some items on here that you should be aware of that you might want to be cautious about, because there's some things you can do to a house that might actually depreciate the value
right.
of it.
Right.
So number one being the kitchen. So people remodel the kitchen. There's a great bang for your buck there. Obviously, that's a big part of a home. What would you say number two would be?
I'm finding that the master bedroom suites, that's a big draw for people. You know, I think a lot more time is spent in the bathroom by women, and I don't want to be sexist about it, of course, but you know, my wife, for example, she loves spending time in the jacuzzi spa, you know, and I'm glad that we have that in our house. But having a nice sized and nicely appointed master bathroom, it goes a long way in the wow factor when selling a home.
So we have this list. It is Remodeling Magazine's Annual Cost versus Value Report here. There are 10 home improvements listed, and I suspect this is a national report because they are not all applicable. And really, I wanted to get Russ's reaction to these, and it's my opinion. I tend to agree. Kitchen's the most important thing, but that's not what they have listed as number one. Surprises me. They talk about the front entry door as the number one thing. I think that's important, but I don't think it's number one.
Well, I don't think so. I mean, it's a relatively inexpensive way to dress up the curb appeal, maybe. Or, you know, if you're replacing a horrible, non-functioning or poorly functioning door, then it's just a necessity to do. But I certainly wouldn't put it on the top of the list.
I wouldn't put it on the top of the list either.
Yeah, I think they're really talking more about curb appeal, you know, and that's a whole nother show, really. I mean, when you pull up to a property, you know, you've got to think like a buyer. And you've also got to realize that agent's going to approach that door and fumble with that key lockbox for a little while that buyer stands around and looks at all the cobwebs or all the, you know, all the improvements that you've done or haven't done.
Well, although I think we can identify that front door may not be number one on our list, I certainly do like a good front door. You got a lot of these front doors that are glass going all the way through. What do you see in people putting in? What are the trends in that regard?
Glass is certainly one of them, although, you know, you want to make sure that it's glass that you can't see through. Or if you can see through it, that you have some sort of window covering over that.
Something,
you know,
opaque.
Something, you know, because you don't want people peering through your
right.
through your glass door or the side lights next to your glass door. So it's all over the place. I would say hardwood front doors are very popular, mahogany. You know, a reddish color, you know, red is important
tint.
For, well, you know, I guess it's a feng shui concept to have a red front door brings prosperity into the house. You know, a lot of times a red front door clashes with the entire exterior of the house.
I painted my house red front door.
You got
a
red
I had
front
to
door.
Have eight yep. coats of paint to make that thing red.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Note to self, buy red paint on the way home.
Yeah.
But the thing is, the front door is really just one small aspect of the appearance of the house when you pull up to it. I would say the yard and the exterior of the house, the rest of the exterior of the house, is probably more important, you know, that it's mm-hmm. well-kept, that it's painted, you know, you don't have peeling paint. The yard is well-kept, you know, and it flows and it looks presentable.
You know, the way I look at it is that the home is actually being interviewed for the next 10 years. They're going to adopt this home or not. And if it passes all those little checks, you know, people walk up to the property. If it looks good, the whole experience that they have, this whole conversation about feng shui, it all plays a part. I mean, I've seen some houses that seem to turn over every 4 or 5 years, if not sooner. You know, and you got to wonder, what is it about that particular property? Is there something that could be done to that property to make it more appealing? Mm-hmm. You know, this return on investment list that we've got is a percentage. So you've got a home, it's worth a certain amount of money. You spend a certain amount of money percentage on the upgrade of the property. What's the return percentage that you may get? And there, you know, there's some things I can see on this list that I've actually done wrong. You know, I had a 4-bedroom, right? And I didn't like the 4th bedroom. I wanted to make it into more of an open floor plan. You know, when I removed a wall, it says right here that's not the right thing to do, you know. But at the same time,
shame.
At the same time, I enjoy it. You know, it's something that I did because I'm living there. I didn't really want to keep the house compartmentalized because it makes more sense financially. You know, if a buyer comes back and says they want a 4-bedroom house, hey, I can put up some drywall, mm-hmm. right?
Right.
Or I can have Russ do it for that matter, you know. If you're interested in getting that list, that percentage of return on investment with some of the things that you can do improving the property, you know, give us a call at our hotline. Just leave us a message, 888-551-2593. We'll put you in touch with Russ. Again, that number is 888-551-2593. Yeah, this list that they've got here just goes on and on. I mean, attic bedroom?
Attic bedroom. Yeah, attic bedroom. I mean, I'm putting one of those in. I've got vaulted ceilings and going to be a bedroom. My wife has a lot of stuff.
Of course, you're using the proper permits, right?
Yeah, proper permits. Uh-huh. None.
Well, see, that's a great thing you said there. Your wife has a lot of stuff. Very, very accommodating.
A lot of stuff. I don't know how many people out there are married to a first grade teacher, but oh my goodness, does she have stuff. Mm-hmm. So we are stashing it up in the attic as fast as I can. And are you seeing people putting in attic bedroom dress?
Well, sometimes you'll see you know, main living areas that have, you know, 15, 20-foot high ceilings, people will put a loft in there. Mm-hmm. And sometimes they'll enclose the loft to make a bedroom. You know, I've done that several times. But it's not as common to turn an attic into a bedroom in California that I've seen, because quite often the roof lines don't permit that.
Right.
You know, we're not in a snow zone, so we don't have these pitched roofs that would allow, you know, an attic, the height.
And right. How would a roof line prevent it? What's the height necessary?
Well, you need at least 7 foot by code to have an actual room. You can call it a room.
And at the lowest point.
At the lowest point, right.
Got it. Yeah, I can see a lot of them would not permit that. Makes sense. We're on with Russ Kubert, general contractor, A1 Patio and Remodeling Experts, website a-1patioexperts.com, going over a list of the Remodeling Magazine's annual cost versus value report here, the top 10 biggest bang for your buck items. We went over 2, 8 more to go. When we come back, we're going to talk about landlord mistakes. We're going to get Tiffany Hazelar on here, dedicated credit repair, to go over her frequently asked questions and hit the remaining 8 if we have time. And talk to you when we get back.
According to the U.S. Census Bureau, over 90 million people in the United States own mutual funds. It makes me wonder how many of these people have read all the fine print associated with those investments. The good news is, you don't have to try and figure it out on your own. Let me introduce you to Dan Osgood. Dan is willing to do a free risk cost analysis for any investment portfolio you have. This free analysis will find all the hidden fees and uncover the missing money from your investments. If you have a retirement account or a bond portfolio of any kind, call the helpline today and get a free analysis so you can find out how much these investments are really costing you. 888-888-0154. That's 888-888-0154. Most people don't think they're paying any fees at all, but trust me, you definitely are. The question is, how much? Dan will tell you this for free, and he'll also give you a risk analysis snapshot so you can find out if you're taking on more risk than you should be. Just call the helpline today at 888-888-0154. That's 888-888-0154. According to the Government Accountability Office, over 70% of people have errors on their credit report. And let me tell you, these errors are not helping your credit score. They are hurting it. Hi, Mr. Credit here. Look, the fact is, credit repair can work, but it's just too expensive for most people to be able to afford it. That's why I'm excited to tell you about a nonprofit company that has a flat fee credit repair system for only $4.99 per person. If you or anyone you know wants to improve their credit, just call the Credit Repair Helpline and speak with an expert for free today. 800-525-1349. That's 1-800-525-1349. Don't let the banksters and credit bureaus win the battle of destroying your credit so they can make a profit. Fight back today. Call 1-800-525-1349. That's 1-800-525-1349.
Geico presents a thank you letter from your motorcycle.
Hi, you dear guy that sits on me. I just wanted to say thanks. Ever since you saved money on your motorcycle insurance with Geico, we've been going out a lot more. The beach, the mountains, that curvy road that leads to the diner with the milkshakes you love. Look, the point is, you and me, we've become biker buds. And I like it. I like it a lot.
Geico could help you save on your motorcycle insurance. And that should make you and your bike very happy.
At AdvanceAutoParts.com, we believe in getting you the parts you need fast. With no shenanigans. What are shenanigans? Those annoying shipping and handling charges you get stuck with when shopping online. We think handling is for sports cars. And shipping? Well, when you spend $75 or more at AdvanceAutoParts.com, shipping is 100% free. 0% shenanigans. AdvanceAutoParts.com. Advance Auto Parts. See site for details.
This is John Feinstein, and this is a CBS Sports Minute. Rory McIlroy got it right on Wednesday, which is exactly what you would expect from him. He admitted he was wrong to quit during the second round of the Honda Classic last Friday and made no excuses. No agent concocted fantasies about bad wisdom teeth, just said flat out, there's no excuse for quitting. Oh, sure, he said his teeth hurt, but he readily admitted it was bad golf that caused him to stalk off the 18th hole after drowning his ball there. Few athletes who have risen so far so fast have understood the responsibilities that come with fame better than McIlroy. Remember, on the day Tiger Woods finally came out of hiding 3 years ago, he took no questions and still tried to blame the media for some of his troubles. not McIlroy, who committed a crime far less heinous than Woods. Now, if his agents will just stay away from him, all will be well. I'm John Feinstein.
Safelite Replace.
Julian with Safelite Auto Glass.
So you think all auto glass companies are the same? Only America's largest gives you the reliability of this Safelite advantage. It's what makes us different. With over 5,000 mobile glass shops in all 50 states, so we're always nearby. And the only national lifetime guarantee, keeping you covered wherever you are. Make the safe choice.
Just ask your insurance company for Safelite or call 800-800-2727 or go to safelite.com.
We believe that even when your team is apart, it should be easy to be together. That when you can meet face-to-face, you're more likely to see eye-to-eye. That when everyone is on the same screen, it's a lot easier to be on the same page. Welcome to GoToMeeting, the powerfully simple way to meet and collaborate online. With one click, launch or join a meeting from anywhere. It's that easy. Visit GoToMeeting.com, click the Try It Free button, and enter promo code SPORTS for a free 30-day trial. GoToMeeting. Meeting is believing.
The road hates your engine. They are adversaries, enemies, foes. The road will attack your engine with dirt, dust, and grime through your air filter any way it can. Fight back. Reclaim the horsepower the road tries to steal. Every 12,000 miles, it's easy to change to a Fram air filter that keeps dirt, dust, and grime out of your engine. If it's on the road, there's a Fram that fits. Find your Fram air filter at your local automotive store.
We keep hearing about an economic recovery, but for many folks, times are still kind of tough. Well, at Red Wing Shoes, we're here to help. Bring your old boots into a Red Wing shoe store and we'll oil them up and replace the laces for free. In fact, we'd be happy to do that for you, even if your boots are another brand. So, come on in. Let us help keep you and your boots on the job. Red Wing Shoes. Work is our work.
Welcome back. ESPN 1700 AM. It's the Real Estate Radio Hour with your host,
Big Mac David McKelvin,
and myself, Ryan White. In studio with us today, Richard Boyer, lawyer here in Del Mar, boyerlaw.net, talking about his ebook, How to Be a Smart Landlord, as well as Russ Kubart, general contractor with A1 Patio and Remodeling, and calling in Tiffany Hazelar, dedicated credit repair. She is going to go over three of her most frequently asked credit questions. Tiffany, are you there?
I'm here. Thanks, you guys, for having me back on the show.
Absolutely. We are excited to hear some of your Mythbusters out there.
Okay. Well, the top three most frequently asked questions are, the first and foremost question that we hear is, how can you legally remove items off of a credit report? So essentially, people are asking, how do you get a legitimate foreclosure, bankruptcy, short sale, 30-day late, or any of the above, successfully removed legally without breaking the law? And I love that question because it gives us an opportunity to really discern between the ways in which we do things versus the way that maybe some companies that aren't legitimate would do things. We utilize about six different techniques, whether we dispute derogatory items directly utilizing the Fair Credit Reporting Act, going directly to the three credit bureaus individually. We can do that. A lot of times, though, more importantly and a little bit more frequently than that is actually settling collection debt. But during that settling process, negotiating to have the item deleted as part of the settlement, we find that to be probably the most significant and easiest way to get the fastest increase in a FICO score. But there's also different techniques and laws that we can utilize, whether it be the debt verification laws, the debt validation laws. We can utilize those to basically put the burden of proof onto the original creditor to not only document what they're reporting against a consumer, but be able to do that in a timely manner, more specifically 30 days, or else the legal verbiage, according to the Fair Credit Reporting Act, states that anything that's being reported must be verifiable and documented by 30 days. So essentially, those four ways are huge. But we've noticed an increase in the idea of taking creditors to small claims through litigation. And a lot of times we're seeing that consumers are having huge successful wins against creditors just simply because the creditor doesn't show up to court.
I've heard that happen more than once. And one of the important things I think you said there was that there is a legal way to remove short sales and foreclosures from your credit report.
Absolutely. In fact, there's not just one legal way. There's multiple ways. I always picture our business as sort of the game of Plinko, if you can remember that, on The Price is Right. you drop a chip and you let it kind of go where it's going to go. And based on the outcome of that initial reaction, of course, then you take almost a tiered reaction to those outcomes. So again, those first five ways are important, but we're also noticing that the Consumer Protection Bureau, which was established to protect consumers, is a hugely effective way for us to get derogatory items removed, because we're basically asking that that the credit bureaus be monitored and that they can't just arbitrarily illegally verify information against a consumer, especially if we can prove that there's been a hardship.
Well, that's great. And Dedicated Credit Repair has a way of potentially playing Plinko and removing these short sales and foreclosures, I assume?
Absolutely. As long as we can also get 30-day lates removed, short sales, foreclosures, you name it. But realistically, the goal is to get an increase in score anywhere from 90 to 100 points, which is pretty common within a 30 to 90-day period.
Oh, that's nice to hear.
That's Tiffany Hazelar, Dedicated Credit Repair. She is here to help with, like she said, 90 to 100 point credit increase, as well as potentially removing short sales and foreclosures from the credit report. Dedicated Credit Repair is the company, Tiffany Hazelar, and that's DCRUSA.com. Is that right, Tiffany?
Correct.
Thank you very much, Tiffany. Talk to you next week.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Bye.
Okay. Back to landlord stuff. We have 10 of them. We got through two of them. Want to make sure we hit the highlights here. Security deposits. Richard, what is enough security deposit?
Well, that is the number 8 item on the list, not getting enough security. That's the way a lot of landlords make mistakes at the beginning of their relationship with their tenants, is either not taking the last month's rent or not asking for a large enough security deposit. The law says, as a landlord, that you can take up to the equivalent of 2 months' rent as security deposit plus the first month's rent. So charge them the first month's rent, and then you can take the equivalent of 2 additional months' rent for security. And that's for an unfinished unit. If it's unfurnished, sorry, it is. If it's furnished, then it, you can have up to 3 months equivalent rent as security deposit. And the reason why, and you want to call it security deposit. You don't want to call it last month's rent.
Yeah, because, I was going to say, that used to be the key words. People used to say first and last.
Right.
This sort of thing. That you don't do that anymore.
No, you don't, because if you call it last month's rent, then you might end up in the situation where the tenant says, okay, I'm moving out in 30 days, and you've got my last month's rent, so I'm out of here. Then the landlord doesn't have enough security, because that's got to go to that last month's rent. The other, another possibility that you can do, especially if landlords are renting to students or young adults, try to get someone to guarantee that lease. I've seen a lot of landlords that have problems with students having personality conflicts with the other tenants. So they'll rent a unit to maybe 3 students, no relationship to each other than that they go to the same school. And within a short period of time, one of the students doesn't get along with the others and wants to move out. So it leaves the landlord in a lurch. If the landlord has the parent of that student guaranteeing the lease, it goes a long way towards securing the rent payments for that unit.
Well, let's jump ahead and go all the way down to number 1. We're kind of running out of time here. Let's make sure we get to number 1. And
you're losing a lot of good stuff there, Ryan.
Well,
but
to get 7 through 2, all right. The website, BoyerLaw.net, 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 or the helpline, 888-551-2593. That's the number, 888-551-2593. What is the number 1 mistake landlords make?
Well, in my book, it is being too nice and not starting the eviction process soon enough when the landlord needs to do that for any reason. But the most common reason is because the tenant starts or stops paying rent. But under the lease agreement, there can be a variety of ways that a tenant breaches the lease. But as I say, the most common one is that they stop paying rent. I always tell landlords, you know, this is your business. As I said before, the grocery store wouldn't allow the tenant to not pay for the groceries. You shouldn't allow that tenant to stay there and not pay rent. It takes a while. If you start that legal process, it can take up to 60 days, sometimes 90 days. If you've got a real nightmare tenant that is determined to stay as long as possible, it can take a while to get them out using the legal process. So you've got to start early. The longer that unit sits empty with you not collecting rent, the harder it is for you.
So you mentioned that it may take 60 days, it may take 90 days to get somebody out that drags their feet, so to speak.
Right.
What would be the shortest?
Well, what we hope is that by serving the 3-day notice to pay or quit, the tenant will move. That occasionally happens. It seems to be happening less and less these days. But the next time that you hope that they would move is when you serve them with the unlawful detainer complaint. Failing that, if they still continue to stay, then you hope that they move when they get a copy of the default notice, or if you go to trial, and if you have to go to trial, if they contest the eviction, then
so there could potentially be a time when you are in front of a judge.
Oh yeah, if the landlord starts the eviction process and the tenant wants to contest that eviction, the landlord has to go to court and prove that, you know, the tenant should be evicted and that he's entitled to get a writ of possession to kick out that tenant. So, yeah, you can definitely be in front of a judge. Most of the time, the tenant doesn't have the wherewithal to file an answer to the complaint and actually go to court. But if they do, then you can.
Well, in this 90 days, I would imagine the tenant's not paying rent. Do you have to then do something else to collect back rents?
Well, yes, you can turn that unlawful detainer complaint into a general complaint for damages. That's where you can collect the past due rent. And, you know, under the terms of the lease, that tenant is still liable for the rent that is due up until the termination of that lease date. So even though you've kicked them out, until you can get another tenant in that property, that tenant is, in theory, still responsible for the rent on that property.
Richard, let's say that, you know, that you start the process and the tenant says, hey, look, you know, I'm having a hard time here. Let me do a partial payment. You know, what happens when you accept a partial payment?
Well, that is something that landlords also do, which is
that,
you know,
number four. We missed that one. Is that number four thing not to do?
That's actually probably under this number one. When a landlord accepts a partial payment after a tenant is served with a 3-day notice, that starts the whole process all over again. It's considered a waiver by the landlord of the breach of the lease. So now the tenant is good to go for another 30 days. And, you know, what I will say, I mean, I don't necessarily say that landlords shouldn't try to work with their tenants. If they've got a good tenant in, you know, bad things happen to good people sometimes. You can work with that tenant, but make sure you get it in writing. And sometimes you can get some concessions from that tenant, like, you know, they'll agree that if they don't provide a certain amount of security within a certain period of time, then they'll agree to move out without the landlord having to go through the eviction process.
We're on here with Richard Boyer, BoyerLaw.net, going over through his ebook, How to Be a Smart Landlord and the Top 10 Mistakes Landlords Make. All are available on his website. We only got through 4 of the 10. Again, Boyer, B-O-Y-E-R, law.net. The helpline, 888-551-2593. That's the number, 888-551-2593. When we come back, we will complete, as much as possible, the biggest bang for your buck with Remodeling Magazine's annual cost versus value report. And Russ Kubart is going to walk us all through that ahead of us when we come back.
Hi, Mr. Credit here. I can't tell you how excited I am to have Bruce McPherson with Security One Lending as a regular guest on the show and my go-to guy for reverse mortgages. Listen, if you're 62 years or older and you own a home, whether you have a mortgage or not, chances are you can benefit from one of today's HECM reverse mortgage options. Just call Bruce McPherson at 866-223-7174. That's 866-223-7174. You can just email reversemortgagebruce@gmail.com. Over the past 9 years, Bruce has really earned his reputation as an honest, ethical reverse mortgage advisor, and he's someone I genuinely trust, and you can too. Don't let old myths about reverse mortgages keep you from calling to get the facts. Today's government-insured HECM reverse mortgages are incredibly flexible, whether you need money now or just want to be prepared for the future. Call your local expert, Bruce McPherson, today and get all the answers you need for free. 866-223-7174. That's 866-223-7174, or just email reversemortgagebruce@gmail.com. Have you been selected for an audit by the IRS? Do you owe the IRS money and want to find a way to settle your account as quickly and easily as possible? Hi, Mr. Credit here. Listen, I had the IRS come knocking on my door over $600, which I didn't even owe them as it turns out. I know how scary this stuff can be. The good news is I know exactly what to do. My tax attorney, Jeffrey Kahn, is board certified and works only on tax-related issues. He understands how the IRS works and how to make the most of each situation. And get this, mention Mr. Credit when you call and get a free consultation and a tax resolution plan, $500 value, absolutely free. Call Jeffrey Kahn today at 866-494-6829. That's 866-494-6829 today and get these tax issues behind you as quickly as possible. 866-494-6829. That's 866-494-6829.
You would not want to be your engine's rear seal, wrapped around a greasy spinning crankshaft for an afternoon or a decade. Your rear seal would tell you that, but it's busy hugging a crankshaft, remember? But after 75,000 miles, you need to switch to Valvoline Max Life Motor Oil with conditioners that help rejuvenate aging seals to prevent engine failure. Remember, your rear seal is not going to text you a little yellow sad face. After 75,000 miles, switch to Valvoline Max Life in the red bottle, because there's a lot of car left in your car.
With all of the choices and customizable settings on the new generation of adjustable clubs, you need an experienced partner to help dial them in just for you. For over 45 years, Golfsmith has been dedicated to helping golfers find the right gear and their best game, all for the guaranteed lowest prices. Don't let your old equipment hold you back. Come in today and get 50% more for your trade-in toward the latest adjustable gear. Only at Golfsmith.
Para resultados y más información acerca de este programa, consultar la página espnradio1700.com.
Welcome back to ESPN 1700. It is a Real Estate Radio Hour with your host,
Ryan White,
and myself, Big Mac, David McKelvin. We are on the line with Russ Kubart, general contractor, A1 Patio, right?
A1 Patio.
Yeah, right.
And remodel.
Richard Boyer, attorney at law with the Eye of the Tiger over here, representing landlords. And, you know, we're going over some of the hot topics about what you should do if your tenant stops making payments.
That's right. Well, we've talked about quite a few of them. As I've said, you need to start the process early because it does take time to get that tenant out if he or she is not making your payments. So you need to get on it and treat it like a business. Know that you're not going to get paid until that tenant starts making payments to you, or you get a new tenant in that's going to make payments.
Got it. So Russ, you know, we're about to be, it's a spring, about to be the summer. You know, recently I was showing property, beautiful area of Southern California, and I went into this home and they had this remote control that they hit a couple buttons and walls started to move and the outdoor patio became more of the living space within the home. So the outside became more of the inside. You know, this seems to be the real trend. People live here in Southern California to take advantage of the weather. Maybe not so much today. But, you know, for the most part, it's a great place to live. The outdoors is becoming the indoors. It's a great way. It's number three on our list here of things you can do to improve the value of your home. So is that something that you're seeing people do a lot of?
Absolutely. It's a sin not to take advantage of outdoor space in Southern California. I think most people realize that. We pay a premium to live here. And one of the reasons is because we have such, you know, beautiful weather, no bugs, humidity very low. It's perfect weather, actually. And so there's no reason to get cooped up inside if you have any yard at all that you can take advantage of. and converting part of that yard, if it's not already been done, to a patio or a patio enclosure or solid patio cover or some space that is usable and comfortable and homey on the outside. So, yeah, absolutely. Number three actually says decks, which is one way of doing it. Probably not the most common way to create outdoor space. Usually people have flat lots, certainly outside the rear door. So usually some sort of concrete or pavers, decorative concrete, those types of things. You've seen a lot of simulated grass out there, you know, to keep the water costs down and the maintenance down. You know, people with swimming pools. I've seen pool houses being built, which is real nice.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, AOL Homes goes on to say that putting a deck, an outdoor living space, out of the back of your home may be one of the least expensive ways to extend your living space. I mean, for the most part, you might not actually have to pull permits to put this sort of thing up. Is that right?
Well, a deck requires a permit if it's more than 30 inches from the ground. Quite often, a deck coming out of the back of the house is less than that. Certainly, most houses that are built on a concrete foundation are, you know, just a few inches higher up than the rear patio. Decks are, I'm finding most of the decks that I'm building are either on hillsides where people have a hillside in the backyard, they want to enlarge their usable space, or off of the second story, usually off the master, they'll put a balcony, you know, to gain a view, to gain a little spot, an outdoor place, basically off the bedroom. That's very common.
And that certainly is going to be more than 30 inches off the ground, especially
well, that
if a
would
big
require
deck
a permit.
On a canyon. Yeah.
Yeah, that absolutely requires a permit.
And overhead, too, as well, Russ, right? If you have to, if you put a cover over your patio or your deck.
Depending on the jurisdiction, now the city of San Diego and the county of San Diego exempt 300 and less square feet patio covers from getting a permit, but pretty much the other cities require it regardless of the size.
Thank you.
So are you seeing people use this, what, Tech Deck these days? Is that
Trex?
Well, Trex is actually a brand name, and they were the original producers of composite decking. Composite decking is the more appropriate nomenclature for that. I do a lot of them. I'm doing two of them right now as we speak, unless the guys are rained out, which they could very well be.
Would you say that's a good investment for someone to make? Would you say that maybe just going with the traditional redwood out there? Or?
No, I'm finding redwood is pretty much out. It's the grades of redwood have gone down so much over the years. They're not cutting the old growth trees anymore. And most of the lesser expensive redwoods are really no better than Douglas fir. There's a lot of sapwood in it. They're cutting the young trees, so you don't get the actual tannic acid content that it should be, or that you want for the insect repellent and you know the weathering. I'm finding redwood decks. I don't think I've built a redwood deck in 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
And I've built many, many composite decks and many, many waterproof decks in that period of time and before that.
And they're virtually maintenance-free, aren't they?
Well, yes. You can paint them, but it kind of defeats the purpose. And there's so many of them out there. Trex is one manufacturer. There's others, TimberTech. Is another there? You go to J&W Redwood, and you can see a very good sampling of what's available in Southern California.
Well, we've talked a lot about the things that you can do to improve the property. What are some of the mistakes that people are making that could actually devalue the property?
Well, you know, you were mentioning earlier about the folding doors, which, you know, is real nice. But yeah, you could spend a lot of money on things that are very personalized, you know, for your particular situation. Something like an aquarium or built-in electronics, or you know, just doing too much work to a space that you'll never recoup on a resale.
Over-improving.
Mm-hmm.
Over-improving. Yeah, mm-hmm. We run into that every now and then. People over-improve. Quite frankly, it's commonly contractors over-improve their home because they have access to all the stuff. I mean, you got access to all the materials laying around. Hey, I got 3 slabs of granite left over. Let's put it outside, you know, and I've got 20 slabs of granite in my backyard all through this. I see it time and time again.
It makes the sale easier, right? I mean, at the same time, you know, let's say I sold a home for a crown molding installer, and he had, you know,
everywhere.
Crown molding everywhere, right? The homeowner walks in, the potential buyer walks in, absolutely love it. They'd never seen a home that they loved as much, and obviously it made a difference, but it was quite overkill. He had spent over $100,000 on putting all those actual finishing touches on it, and I mean, it certainly assisted in the sale, but there was not a $100,000 difference between his sale and the comparables.
Last one, we only have time for one more here. Windows. Upgrading the windows. So I get what kind of bang for my buck? I mean, according to this, this is number 6. According to Remodeling Magazine's annual cost versus value report, number 6 on the list, windows bang for your buck. What are you seeing?
I see a lot of people, especially in the 70s and prior homes, replacing those windows, usually with the replacement windows, which are you leave the old frame in, the old windows, and then a new window, which is custom made for that opening, goes into that, and it's caulked in, and it's a quick and easy process.
Mm-hmm.
So I would say that certainly for the older homes that have single pane glass, or even the older dual pane glass, which are all fogged up. Usually, or an old bronze window or an old silver window, which are, you know, you don't see in any new homes now. You see a big difference in updating the home and in bringing it up to today's standards. And I would say that's an excellent investment.
Good return on your money there.
Yes.
Good return
mm-hmm.
on your money. Mm-hmm. Well, that is all we have time for. There are still 4 or 5 left over. This is Remodel Magazine's annual cost versus value report. That was Russ Kubart, general contractor, A-1PatioExperts.com, A-1PatioExperts.com for all your decking needs. Also, Richard Boyer, lawyer here in Del Mar, BoyerLaw.net, went through his ebook, Be a Smart Landlord. Until next week, gentlemen, thank you for joining us.
Thank you, Ryan, David.
Thank you.
See you next week.
Bye.